Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited. I've got a great guest for you today. His name is Roman Prokopchuk, and he is with Nova Zora Digital. And he and I met because one of our mutual friends, Miha Malevsky, who I've interviewed, put out a post and said, hey, these are some of my favorite podcasts. So I reached out to Roman, and Roman said, hey, dude, let's get together and talk. And I said, absolutely. So Roman, man, how are you doing?
I'm good. I appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to our chat today. So we're going to be talking about making sure that you maximize your marketing budget, that you understand where your money is coming in, where it's going out, that kind of stuff, which I think is really uber important because a lot of people just spend blindly. But before we go there, I want my audience to get to know you. So can you explain how you went from protecting toys at a Toys R Us to working in the Secret Service to helping companies get found on the internet?
Sure. It was not the, you know, the most clearest journey, but I got here. So Toys R Us, I was a seasonal kind of worker, which is nostalgic. It no longer technically exists, when I was in high school. So I did that in terms of retail and trying to earn a little bit extra money. And then fast forward to senior of college, I was a criminal justice major. So a internship that I got was I was on the Secret Service on a counterfeit currency squad, which took about 6 months to get that top secret federal clearance in order to even be an intern. And I thought I was going to go that route, but I graduated in 2008, which was when the economy tanked. So state, local, federal agencies stopped hiring, basically froze budgets. And I was kind of forced to, you know, just sit there and apply and get no responses. So after months of looking for a job, getting down, you know, depressed, you know, why do I have a bachelor's degree and can't find a job when I'm qualified for? I basically, the only thing that kept me sane was going to the gym. And I spoke to somebody and they said, hey, I have this kind of need at my company. So he said, come outside. And he opened his trunk and he had a packet, and it was about search engine optimization. He said, read this, go online, learn a little bit more, and then you can be doing that for my company. So I took about 2 months to learn as much as I could in that time, and basically worked with him and his company for a few months. And that got my foot in the door within the industry. So I've had a few director roles on the agency side, worked with a bunch of Fortune 500s and smaller businesses across a plethora of digital marketing disciplines.
Very cool. So today we're going to be talking about, you know, how to maximize your budget, because one of the things that you talked about is a lot of people spend money. I mean, and one of the things I talk about a lot is BSOS, bright shiny object syndrome, where, you know, somebody comes to me and says, hey, you know, we want to do SEO. And it's like, well, why do you want to do SEO? What do you expect out of SEO? Oh, I want to do Instagram ads. Why do you want to do that? So what are some of the things that you look at when you're starting to work with a customer that helps you evaluate A, what they're doing, and B, maybe what they can do better?
Yeah, so it depends what kind of business they are, what industry they're in, what existing efforts they have currently, what they've done, and kind of the results they have. Because oftentimes, if you have a prospect or take over a client, you have virtually nothing in terms of previous data, or, you know, what has happened other than kind of word of mouth. Some bigger companies that I've worked with in terms of industries, pharma, life sciences, financial services, have a high turnover. So, you know, executive teams and decision makers and heads of marketing departments oftentimes get laid off or go to another, you know, company in the same industry. So you don't have a lot of information or what to go on or figure out what actually works or doesn't. But if you get a business, first understanding what demographic and what the ideal client or purchaser is, and where they spend their time online. So narrow that down to a few places in terms of where they spend their time online, and then everything else, I don't dissuade people from not testing. So let's say if you're a B2B company and you're, you know, standoffish because you don't think you can utilize TikTok, well, figure it out, at least learn it, at least try it a little bit. They are rolling out with their kind of ad platform a bit more. And organically, it still has uncapped organic reach like everything else. Like Facebook started Instagram, which it was a wild west in terms of getting actual brand lift and recognition. So getting a core focus, or you know what, where the customer is, what you should do, and then testing everything else in terms of either emerging platforms, emerging techniques or strategies, and basically adapting to the time and future-proofing your efforts.
Yeah, and you know, I couldn't even begin to imagine TikTok, but I understand exactly what you're talking about. It's like, you don't know until you try it, and it can't hurt. And the bottom line is you may or may not see results, and that's fine. So when you walk into a company, and I know you've seen this all the time, what would be like the three most common things that you see people doing that really need improvement? We'll come back to them one at a time, but what would be the first thing that you see that companies do? Maybe it's their website, maybe it's their search engine, maybe it's their AdWords or, you know, advertising. What are the things that you're seeing?
I think content strategy across the board. Usually if you want an online presence, regardless of what type of business you are, so your website, it's 2020 people. There are companies out there, granted, not necessarily Fortune 500s or bigger companies, smaller businesses, mid-sized businesses that still don't think they need to be online or don't have a website or have a very archaic website or very clunky code the way it was coded that's not conducive for, you know, what 2020 Google or other search engines are looking for in terms of either user experience or speed, or even mobile compatibility. There are still sites that aren't mobile compatible. So shoring up your website and that presence in terms of a technical standpoint, and then evaluating the content you actually have. So outdated content that doesn't represent your business. Oftentimes, updating the website hasn't been updated in, you know, far too long. People or an executive team are on the site that are no longer there. So Having things up to date in terms of you're having brick and mortar locations for either your corporate headquarters or surrounding offices, having all that information if you do want brick and mortar business from local search, and then the content, like I said, itself. So is that content connecting? Is it relevant to 2020? Is it relevant to search trends changing or what people are actually looking for? Are people looking for things in a different manner that they did, you know, previously? You know, if there's an industry where there's a new catchphrase or people are using a specific search behavior, are you adapting to it? So basically future-proofing your efforts and understanding that. And that kind of, for me, starts as a pillar, your website.
Yeah, no, I love that. And one of the things that I usually recommend is the life expectancy of any website update generally is about 3 years. That's my, you know, that's kind of my talking point. And the reason I say that is because technology changes every year. And if your site is 3 years old, chances are there's something in there that's going to be outdated, whether you, like you say, content or anything else. And what I see a lot of companies doing, and I'm going to put this in medical terms, and some of you will like it, some of you won't, but what a lot of companies do is they'll tend to inject Botox into it. They'll put a pretty face on it. But what the website really needs is a colonoscopy. I mean, somebody's got to dig in with a light and look at the back end and look at the heavy duty stuff. I was just working on one site with over 200 pages and found, you know, an insane amount of broken links, an insane amount of outdated content that is still floating out there, you know, and it's like nobody decided to go in and actually, you know, stick the light up there and really see what was going on. So, yeah, I agree. Second one, what would be the second biggest thing that you see that people need to look at when it comes to their online marketing?
I think kind of shoring up your brand. So let's say you may not be on a platform, let's say TikTok, but claiming that profile and creating something like a branded, putting your logo up there, a description, if you can add a link on a specific platform. So basically claiming it and defending your brand, because, you know, oftentimes people are either malicious or take a common brand or a common name, then you have to go around legal routes or take time away from your day and you're away from your team to get this thing claimed or take control of it. So basically kind of shoring up your brand name and your brand equity in that way, so nobody can negatively impact that or do any harm in that sense.
Yeah, no, very, very good point. So let's move on to the third one. So first we talked about basically making sure your website is solid. Second thing is claiming your space, getting your brand out there, you know, making sure you... Another thing along that lines is make sure that you own everything. I mean, make sure you own your hosting, make sure you own your domain name. I just had a company, you know, made sure we went in and grabbed all their Google properties, you know, so they have Google Business, Google Analytics, all of that stuff is in their name, so they own it and know where that stuff is at, you know. And a lot of times I see companies will hire a team and the team will go do things, and then they let the team go, and, you know, there's some animosity, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm not giving you those passcodes. So it becomes a real nightmare. So the third thing, what would be the third biggest thing after we've cleaned up the website and kind of claimed our space on the internet?
I would say, like I kind of mentioned earlier, I touched on it, so taking more of an omni-channel approach where you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. So like I said, if you are doing, you know, Google ads, don't think you shouldn't be, you know, on Bing, as it would be Bing and Yahoo, because number one, the traffic is a little lower, but the traffic is also cheaper. And then testing stuff, I test stuff all the time, Quora, Reddit, I'm starting to do things in the audio space, actually, for B2B in terms of B2B podcasts and direct advertising on them, and on platforms like NPR that have a self-serve ad network. So figuring that out and basically not putting all your eggs in one basket and constantly testing, because you may find that one nugget that you have like crazy ROI, and then you should double down on it, whatever's working. And like I said, don't, you know, like it for TikTok, if you aren't on TikTok, try it, claim a profile, put up a video or a format. You don't necessarily have to be creating videos where you're lip syncing or, you know, singing duets, but there are a lot of businesses that are getting a crazy amount of reach currently. So basically not putting all your eggs in one basket, having a core discipline or a core place to take that traffic, like the first example, your website, and then testing all the various channels to get that traffic to your site. So at the end of the day, I think marketing is very simple and people make it very complicated. So it's good content, packaging that content into that delivery method. If you want to use a gun analogy, the right bullet for the right gun, and then basically positioning it for where you're sending it and how people are consuming that content.
Roman, I love it, man. That is some great advice. And one of the things that really caught my ear was, you know, basically go and create a 30-second commercial. Have that available. If there's a podcast network or certain podcasts that you can advertise on, why not try that? You don't know, you know. And the thing that I think is uber important for people to understand is when you do something like that, you know, have a way to be able to measure that specific thing. Back in the old days, oh boy, in the 1980s and 90s, they used to have like, you know, 1-800 numbers for every town so that you could see that, you know, this particular phone number got a call from Phoenix and this one got one from LA. You can do the same thing on a website. You can create a, you know, a copy of a page and actually track the traffic for each one of those things. So I think that measurement factor that you're talking about putting things out there and measuring, is really cool and very uber important. So my final question for you is, time to break out the crystal ball. Ooh. What do you see happening this year that's different than last year that people need to pay attention to?
I would just say, honestly, the rise of audio content. And you don't necessarily, like you said, you don't necessarily have to create audio for audio. If you have a branded video representing your business, you can strip that audio and utilize it as audio content. But I think in 2020, you need every type of content in order to connect and maximized to your target audience. So the way they're consuming can be different based on the age and the demographic. So having content written, image-based, video and audio, because, you know, it's in 2020, that's still the only four ways to really consume as a human being content. So shoring up your content efforts and having a aligned content strategy that matches and is intent-based.
I love it. So basically, you go from putting all your eggs in one basket to getting the eggs out and mixing them together and making an omelet and sharing that with the world. I love it, man. Hey, Roman, man, this has been a blast. Great stuff. If people want to learn more about you, your podcast, your website, or anything like that, what's the best way for them to do that?
Depp, you can shoot me a message if you have a question about anything marketing. I'm glad to, you know, give out information, you know, freely in terms of my opinions on LinkedIn. It's just linkedin.com, Roman Prokopchuk, or look for my name, NovaZoraDigital.com, and then my podcast is The Digital Savage Experience.
Cool. So, man, this has been a blast, and thanks for dropping some great sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I look forward to connecting up with you again soon, man, and maybe having you back on and talking about what's coming down the pike. So, Roman, thanks for joining us, dude.
Sounds good. It was fun.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.